very, very important in Hashem's eyes. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. It took him 6 days to create the entire world, which obviously is super complex. But yet, since that time of creating this world, what does Hashem do almost the entire day, or at least half the day? He is involved in shidduchim, involved in being mezaveg zivugim. This certainly brings out the complexity and the Hashem's value in what it means to be mezaveg a man and a woman. Okay, the Gemara over here says ki sheishes yamim. There's a story of the Matronisa. Let me read you the beginning of the Gemara, just as a hagdama to this whole sugya. In Gemara Masechta Soita, and Daf Bei Zomer Aleph, Omar Rabba Bavar Chano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, V'Koshon, Koshon L'Zavgon, K'Kriyas Yamsof. It is difficult before Hashem to bring together a man and a woman equivalent to splitting the Sea of Reeds, the K'Kriyas Yamsof. And the Gemara says that's obviously a serious business. And the Gemara in the Medrash, Bereshis Rabbah, has a story with the Matronisa, a woman, Sha'ola es Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta. This very distinguished woman asked Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta, Amrloi, L'kama yomim boro HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Olama. She obviously did not go to Cheder, did not go to school, she did not know the basics. How long did it take Hashem to create this world? Amar lo, he told her, L'sheishes yomim, it only took 6 days. Amar lo, umahu oise mi oise shaviyad achshav, what's his day job? If Hashem finished the entire world in 6 days, so what does he do every day? What does he do? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev umezaveg zivugim. Now, it's interesting, we have another medrash that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only spends a half a day on Shidduchim. Does this medrash disagree? Because this medrash seems to say that Hashem spends the entire day. Yoyshev u'mezaveg zivugim. Bita shal ploni l'ploni, ishta shal ploni l'ploni, v'chul goes through the whole story. Fine. I just wanted to mention that to bring out the appreciation of this is serious business. This is certainly complicated issues. Okay, let's now begin to touch upon some ideas. Okay, first idea I want to bring out is Chazal tell us, we know that there's something called bashert. Okay, I don't even know what that word means. There's something called a man and a woman are meant to be. It's not just an accident. There is a special hashgacha that brings together a husband and a wife. And the Gemara goes on to say, there are three sources for this principle. Min ha-Torah, min ha-Nevi'im, u-min ha-Kesuvim. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk in the Torah, this week's parasha, where Lavan and Besuel made a statement, me-Hashem yotzo ha-davar. Story, we know this week's parasha, when Eliezer proposed and asked Lavan and Besuel, may I take Rivka back to Yitzchak? And they said, well, it's obvious, it's bashert, obvious, this whole thing, this whole event, this whole thing, how it came about, how he happened to meet her, and the water came up, and this and that, the whole story, may Hashem yotza hadavar. And then we go to a pasuk from the Nevi'im, Shimshon HaGibor. Shimshon HaGibor went out into the land of the Pelishtim and he married a non-Jewish woman. And his parents were shocked. His parents, they said, there aren't enough Jewish girls. You have to go marry a non-Jewish girl, a Pelishti? What's going on here? And the pasuk goes on to say that the parents did not know that it was Mei Hashem. Okay, I don't have the pasuk here in front of me this moment, but the Midrash goes on to say that Mei Hashem, it was Min HaShamayim, that this was his Bashert, the Lila. And the third source comes from Mishlei. And in Mishlei, there's no story. It's just a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bayis v'hoin nachalas avos." Maybe when it comes to possessions, to own property, wealth, this is birusha, but ume Hashem, isha maskelas. It is from Hashem a man merits a wise wife. So we have over here a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara has to illustrate to us that there's a principle in the world called what we, our terminology, bashert. And the Gemara has to go out of its way to tell us that this can be proven both from Torah, Nevim, Ukesuvim. And we have three examples. Now, it's a little bit mysterious why the Gemara needs to cite sources from the Torah, from the Nevim, from the Ksuvim. How many things, every halacha that we have, you need to go find the source min haTorah, min haNevim, or min haKsuvim. You have a question. How do you know that you have an obligation to learn Torah? V'shinantam levonecha v'dibarta bam. I need to go find the pasuk in the Nevi'im. I need to go find the pasuk in the Ksuvim. How do you know you have an obligation to take on Sukkos a lulavan and Eshrog? U'lekachtem lechem b'yom harishayim. Are you going to tell me that I need to go supplement the source from Nevi'im and Ksuvim? It's very bizarre, just to begin with, that we need to support this principle from Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Torah, each one of these sections of Tanakh offers a different element, a different dimension in appreciating Bashert. Okay, now that part, why, what does each one offer? I don't know, I didn't think about. But I just want to make another observation, and that is the examples that are given are super duper bizarre. The case of, you know, you would expect, if you want to go talk about Shidduchim Anam HaShemayim, you would expect the Torah to tell us a case of a nice Jewish boy who marries a nice Jewish girl from a nice family. Everything is fine and good. Oh, and the pasuk shows that this was Me'ashem Yotza HaDavar. Instead, where does the Torah seek proof that a Zivug is min HaShemayim, from a Zivug where they tried everything they can possibly do that it should not come about? Lavan, we know that Besuel passed away. Why? Because Besuel wanted to murder Eliezer. They wanted to hold back the Zivug. Lavan, at the end, the brother, thank you very much for the question. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Lavan, the brother, also, at the end, wanted, Rashi tells us, wanted to hold her back. There were multiple, there was opposition. And we're not dealing here with a family that's exactly a tzaddikin. We're dealing with Rav and Harami. We're dealing over here with major issues. And yet here it says, May Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Shimshon and Delilah, that's the best you can find in the Nevi'im. For all the Nevi'im, you can talk about David. Okay, in the Torah, maybe, you know, even in the Torah, why do you have to go to, going back, you have to go to Yaakov, in the Torah, you have to go to Yaakov and Yitzchak and Rivka. There's so many problems. Why don't we talk about Aaron? He married Elisheva. Why don't we talk about Moshe and Zipporah? There weren't so many issues. I don't have a grasp on all the different Ishei HaTanakh and all the stories, but certainly I don't think this would be the best example that the Torah has to make a statement, Me Hashem Yotza HaDavar, over a Zivug that is very problematic in many ways, especially being the opposition, the desperation of Besuel and Lavan that this Zivug should not come to be. Okay, Besuel actually tried to murder Eliezer, and there would not have been a Zivug. And then the next morning, Lavan said, no, let her stick it around, let her stick it out for a while. She's not leaving us so quickly. And then they said, Nish'ala Lana'ara, they finally came to a compromise after probably a long argument, let her decide. And she said, I'm leaving, I don't care, I'm out of here. And then when we go to Nevi'im, from Nevi'im there's an enormous amount of material. The Torah could have revealed where a zivug is ben Hashemayim, and we have to go to the most bizarre case of them all, Shimshon, from a fine choshva mishpacha, to go marry a woman, a non-Jewish woman. Did she convert? Did she not convert? No one even, it's not even so clear what happened over there with the Lila. What's going on over there? What? The whole thing, that he would even want to do something like this. They were the bitter enemies of the Jewish people, the Polishtim. Who would even fathom such a thing? And it's specifically here Hashem says, we learn, the Pasuk goes on to say that his parents did not know that this was a Siba Me'es Hashem, that he should marry her. And then the most bizarre of them all is we go to Mishle, Ksuvim. Oh, Ksuvim! Oh, you got a long cast of characters in Ksuvim. You can go to the time, this is go Divrei Hayamim, and you can go look at Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and you can talk about Tehillim. We have David HaMelech, and we have the Megillos. There's no limit to what you can dig up in Ksuvim to talk about Zivugim Basher. No, the place where the Torah has to reveal to us that a Zivug is min Hashemayim is in Mishle. You know what Mishle is? Mishalim. It's the world of fantasy. There's no person in Mishle. It's all Mishalim, Proverbs. There's nothing real about Mishle. Everything in Mishle is the world of fantasy. Here, it's going to tell us that Zivugim are Bashert. If you want to bring me a source from the section of the Torah called Kesuvim, don't you think we should focus on a real human being? Show me, point at a person, show me the evidence? No. No evidence. There's no evidence. It's a general pasuk in Mishle, everything about Mishle is just a mashal, and you have to use your imagination, use your mind, and a concept, just like when it comes to wealth, a person can inherit wealth, but when it comes to a wife, may Hashem, it comes from Hashem. What's going on over here? The whole thing is so bizarre, and I believe it is bizarre by design, because reality is stranger than fiction. And it's by design, min haTorah, min haNevi'im, min haKsuvim, we cover the entire scope. We go through Kol Torah Kula. And when we go through Kol Torah Kula, we extract the three most bizarre cases you could ever fathom. Number one, a zivuk, where everything that could have been done to prevent it from happening was done. And guess what? You can do everything you want to stop it from happening. It's still going to happen. You can't outsmart Hashem. Who is the second example? The second example is not who the person is. This is the shidduch. The first shidduch, the first example is circumstances. There are people getting in the way. There are people in the way doing everything they can to prevent it. Nope, it's going to happen. The second example is, this is who you want to marry? You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. You want to marry this girl? All the girls, this is the girl? Yeah. And the third example is, it's so bizarre, we can't even find a case in Tanakh that will bring out the impossibility or the unlikeliness that such a thing could happen. We don't even want to give a person. We want to just present a concept, a mashal. Me Hashem. An isha comes from Me Hashem. Chazal by design are trying to teach us in a very interesting way is reality is stranger than fiction. When it comes to Shidduchim, it's a whole different world. It doesn't follow any playbook, any rules, any guides. You do your Bashert, you do your Hashtadlus, But at the end of the day, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's been working on this since the time of Maaseh Bereishis to figure out how to bring people together in the right place at the right time to produce a result that will in turn be the roots of the next round of Shidduchim that are going to go into the next generation. The examples we have to appreciate that this the piece of Gemara is really, really off the charts. Okay, I just read you a piece of Gemara. Min haTorah, min haNeviim, min haKsuvim. Why do you even need to do that? There are a handful of things that Chazal tell us. Min haTorah, min haNeviim, min haKsuvim. 99% of Torah, it's all, you find one pasuk, you're done. Have a nice day. It's all you need. Very few things in the entire Shas did Chazal have a need to extract a source, min haTorah, min haNeviim, min haKsuvim. And if we're already extracting sources, don't you think we should extract something that's a little more pleasant, a little more straightforward, a little more common? No. We're picking for you the most bizarre situations possible in order to open up your mind and to realize this is something, this is a koyach in this world, a force in this world that does not follow any rules. It is beyond man's comprehension. It is a power, a koyach in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he works things out. He puts thoughts into people's minds. He prepares situations, environments to bring about how people get married. Okay, let's jump around to another idea. Another idea. Let's talk about for the moment something more controversial. Gerim. Okay, we'll try to talk about things a little bit off the beaten path. Is it a maila for a person that it's a meyuchas? He comes from a long, long line of ben achar ben from birth, parents, grandparents, great parents, to marry a woman who is a convert, a geiris. Is there any stigma? Is a person who's entering into the shidduch market? Is there any? And someone proposes to him a girl that's a geiris, and she's there's no issue in halacha. She's a long. There's no challenges in going forward. The girl's a geiris for the last 20 years. She knows more than the boy. She knows how to learn. She knows how to keep a kosher home. She was brought up in a very fine home. She's a geiris. So the only issue is her yichus. She comes from parents that are not Jewish. Is this something that a person should be concerned about when he enters into Shidduch? So first of all, let us not deny the fact that Melech HaMashiach comes from a Geres, Rus HaMoaviyah. Let us not forget that Unkelis was a Ger. Let us not forget that Rabbi Akiva, who is the father of Torah Shebal Peh, comes from Gerim. Let us not forget that Rabbi Meir comes from Gerim. Okay, so let's not forget that the foundation of Klal Yisrael is built upon Gerim. That's number one. That's not an issue. There really is no issue. Number two, there is something called, it's a piece, we cannot deny the fact that the Gemara says when a person enters in Shidduchim, he should seek out, it's a Gemara, a Mishpacha Miyuchesses. A mishpacha miyuchesses. And the Gemara says that the Shechina, the divine presence, only rests upon a mishpacha miyuchesses. So right away you can conclude that if a person zivug, whether it's a boy or girl, does not come from a holy stock, from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, ben achar ben. So there's a chesodo in being a mishpacha miyuchesses. Many of the commentators say that is 100% false. That's not what it means. This term, a mishpacha miyuchesses, means the marriage is not in sin. a Kohen who marries a Gerusha, that is called a Mishpacha that's not Miyuchases, because it's a marriage of sin. If a regular Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, or a Yisraelis marries a Mamzer, that is not permitted. The Kedushin is Toifes, they're married, they're legally married. If a Yisrael, if a Kohen marries a Chalola, a woman who is the product of a divorced, of a Kohen marrying a Grusha, and the child's a Chalola, and a Kohen marries her, the marriage is a legal marriage. It's binding. If she were to have relations with another man, she would be executed. She'd be chayev misa. It's a legal binding marriage. But being that this marriage is in sin, that is the term, what it means in Chazal, it's not a mishpacha miyuchases. We tend to abuse the term mishpacha miyuchases. We look at the term a mishpacha miyuchases means that my Zayde, he was a Groyser Rebbe, and he had Chassidim, and they came to bring him Kivitlach, and he said Torah by Shalashuris, and he did this mitzvah and that. He was a Gevir, a Kesef Yanes. I call money is the ultimate Yichos, right? That's the ultimate. Money makes you Alamailas. When you have, that's not what it means. Mishpacha miyuchesis today in our terminology is an abused term. It's lying on the couch at local psychologist, perhaps taking medication for the abuse that we have heaped upon the term, that it means a family, a person who comes from, meets my mother, I come from this Rebbe, my father comes from this Rebbe, and you trace back your lineage and you have a yichus brief, very nice. You have very good lineage, you come from good stock, but that's not what the term means. The term Mishpacha Miyuchesis means there's absolutely no Avera, there is no commitment of a sin in this marriage. Nowhere down the line in this marriage did a Kohen marry a Gerusha, did a Kohen marry a Chalala, did a man or woman marry a mamzer? Did anyone marry an Amoini or a Moyavi? Even though today we don't even know what that means. Or a mitzri for three generations. Or all the nations which you're not allowed to marry. Or did a person do even worse? Did he marry a non-Jewish woman? Okay, did he marry, a woman who's Jewish marries a non-Jewish man. All of those situations I just described to you, that's what it means. It's a mishpacha that's not miyuchesses, because there was an element of sin. Sin is defined by the Torah and by Shulchan Aruch. But if it's a kosher marriage, he's a fine man, a fine woman, just because he's not a Gadol Hadar, just because his great-grandfather wasn't a Groyser Rebbe, a Rosh Hashiva, his great-great-grandfather, he earned a good, honest living. This is a mishpacha miyuchesis in the highest order. Now, there's another thing. You talk about yichus. Listen, yichus is a very good thing. Yichus definitely goes a long way. There's no one is chas v'sholom taking away the value of yichus, zuchus avos. There's certain midos. Ever see a Soloveitchik? There's a gene. There's definitely a gene in the Soloveitchiks. I know some of the Soloveitchiks. They have a gene that just is so dominant. You can't get that gene out of the Soloveitchiks, no matter who they marry. No matter who they marry, that gene just goes on to the next generation. Okay, you know, it's what do you do with it? Is it good or bad? You know, you got to be careful what you do with that Soloveitchik gene. But these are external matters. When it comes to Shidduchim, it doesn't matter. A Giyores is called a Mishpacha Miyuchesis. A woman who converts according to Halacha and marries a person, this is a Mishpacha Miyuchesis, because this is Halacha. Okay? So far we've discussed two principles. We have to remember, Klal Yisrael comes from Geir. Number two, the term Mishpacha Miyuchesis has nothing to do with what profession your great-grandfather was involved in. And, you know, just because you were a big rabbi doesn't necessarily mean everything is fine and good. I told you many times that a certain very chashiva rosh koilel, and when he's the Masader Kiddushin, and they may give him Eidim, they give him every kibbut in the book. He's known to be big, big, big person. And then one time he comes to a wedding and they announce, we're mechabing you with an aid under the chuppah. And no way, I'm not taking an aid. To be an aid, you have to be kashul aidus. You know how much money I'm involved in every single day? Do you know how much money goes through my hands? I write checks, I have a whole network, I give out money the whole day. I collect money and I give out money. It's inevitable that some of the money that I collected is stolen. I coerce people to give money. And some of the money that I give people to, they don't deserve it. It's gezel. I'm a ganaf. I'm a ganaf. I'm a gazlan. I'm posel eidus. You want me to be the Masader Kiddushin? I'll take it. I'll take it in a heartbeat. But I'm not going to be an aid. So that's a very good story. It's a true story, you should know. I'll be the Messiah, but I'm not going to be the aid. I can't take the acharis to be the aid. I deal with too much. With too much that I'm not comfortable with that I can say that I can be an aid. So you don't know just because a person in the previous generations was very, very great. Only Hashem knows. So number one, we have to remember, there's no such thing as in Klal Yisrael, a major chunk of leadership of Klal Yisrael has come through Gerim. Number two, the principle, the term Mishpacha Yuchesis means one thing only, Halacha. If it's halachically valid, that is what makes this a Mishpacha Yuchesis upon which Chazal give a Baracha, the Shekhinah will come to rest. Now let's go further. There are Gemaras that do seem to say, or Mamari Chazal, that do seem to say different than what I just told you. The Gemara said, there's a story in the Gemara, and the Gemara, one of the Amoraim told, don't put your bed amongst Goyim, which is interpreted to mean, do not, I have never find the Gemara here, here's the Gemara. This is the Gemara Masechta Brachos, and Afches. Rava Omar Lebanav. Rava said to his sons, Al Teshvu Al Mito Aramis. Do not sit upon a bed that is owned by an Aramis, a woman from the nation of Aram. Which simply means, the Gemara goes on to explain, this means do not marry Gerim. I instruct you, my children, to stay away from Gerim. So doesn't this appear to be a direct contradiction to everything that we've mentioned until now? So the commentators, they deal with this at length, and they tell us incredible principles in the halacha, which open up whole new worlds in understanding bechlal, gerus, and a marriage to a gerus. Number one, many mefarshim say that this statement, do not marry the Gemara is very specific, he didn't say don't marry Gerim, he didn't say that. He said very specifically Aramis. Aramis was a certain category of Goyim. They were the worst of the worst. And Aramis from the Amorim, the word Amaris is a reserved term in the Gemara referring to a specific race, okay? A specific nation, race, that was known for their devotion to Avodah Zarah, to have midos which are 100% not consistent with everything that we know, everything that the Torah advises us. So one thing you take out of that, and this is not really a chiddush, and that is, not all goyim are the same. As a practical matter, to take out of this statement of the Gemara, we just mentioned many sources that there's nothing to be concerned about when it comes to Gerus. Yet the Gemara says, stay away from Gerim. And what comes out, the Yavetz talks about this, and he writes here a sefer called Mili de Brachos. It's the name of the sefer. I don't know who wrote the sefer. That not all goyim are the same. There are goyim, there are nations that are crude, that are ugly, that cleave to avodah zarah, that have terrible midos. But Chazal recognized there are nations that are not in that category. They're fine. For whatever reason, they were not mekabel the Torah at Har Sinai. But they're not in the league where they are rejected. And what it says here, where it says here, Al Teshul Mita Aramis, that's one answer. Now here's another answer, which this is, I'm about to tell you now, shook me up very, very much, and really, really changed my whole attitude of Geirus in general. Now let me give you some Hakdama. Today, when we look at it, today there's a very big problem in Beis Din. Today, there are Baruch Hashem, there are many people that want to become Geirim. And many of them, in fact, probably the vast majority, when they choose to become Geirim, the first question the Beis Din asked them, I don't know if they asked them outright, but they sniff out the answer, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Well, all of a sudden, you want to become a ger? Why in the world would you want to become a ger? Who would want to become a ger? What do you get out of becoming a ger? You have to observe Shabbos. You can't eat this. You can't do that. It's mind-boggling. Just out of the goodness of your heart, you learned about Judaism. You want to become a Jew, an Orthodox Jew? Are you kidding? It doesn't make sense. Why are you going to become? Oh, I know why. You have a boyfriend. And your future shviga said, over my dead body, will my son marry a non-Jewish girl? You want to get married, that we understand, and you like him. The only way your mother-in-law will let you marry your boyfriend is if you convert, or the other way around. The only way the boy's mother-in-law will let him get married, or even his girlfriend, is if he converts. Oh, so you don't really believe in all this stuff. You don't really believe in Shabbos, and Yados, and Kashrus, and Nida, and learning Torah, and living a lifestyle of an Orthodox Jew. You don't really go for this. It's just, you want to get married. Love conquers all. You know something? We have bad news to tell you, that we don't accept Gerim. When it's clear as day that you have ulterior motives to convert, then you're not a sincere ger. We don't accept you. And the times of Mashiach, no, there will not be one convert accepted, because then it's impossible. The only reason why you want to be Jewish is because when the Jews are dominant, you want to be part of the elite. So, sorry. No, but I really want to become a ger. So today, pretty much, at least amongst the Ashkenaz community, we say, listen, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? If just because you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you want to get married, listen, if you're sincere, you're sincere. Who says we're any better? Right? Who says we're any better? I always tell you, I had a friend who became a ger, and he told me what they did to him. The workout. I can tell you, if I was not Jewish, I would never make it. I would never, ever survive the ordeal they put him through to become Jewish. What they made him do for 2 years, what they made him go through for 2 years to prove his sincerity, I don't think the average person would be able to survive that particular Beis Din, what they put him through. And he persevered, and he's an incredible person. Okay, once you're in, you're grandfathered in, you can slouch off. But to get in, it's a very tough process. But today, the attitude today in the world, the halacha, there are definitely exceptions. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was very against this. He did not accept Gerim. As far as I know, he was very, I don't know all the details, but he was very, very strict in this regard. Sfardim are very strict. In certain communities, it's not all, but in certain communities, they're very, very strict. But Ashkenazim were very generous. Come, join us. You want to convert, gesunde hate. You have a boyfriend or girlfriend, none of our business. Who cares? It's not our business. Convert. Just show us the best that you can that you really committed. Why are you committed? Because you want to marry him. So that's a good reason. You want to marry him. So that's going to cause you to become a religious Orthodox Jew. Fine. It's none of our business. That is the approach of Ashkenazic Jewry for centuries. Again, it's not everyone agrees to what I'm telling you. Not everyone is in practice, but that's pretty much Ashkenaz Jewry, our Makabel Gerim, and we don't ask questions, even though we know what it's all about. So in my heart, it bothered me. Yeah, you know, okay, I get it. I don't have any problems. And the truth is anyway, you know, the proof is in the pudding. What happens? They get married. And you see what happens. And sometimes if the marriage doesn't work out, sometimes these gerim, they go back to their old ways. Then you know that they were never sincere to begin with. And sometimes these people who convert, they become stars. They become the best. They really, really grow with Yadus and they become the very special people. So it doesn't really matter. Okay, when the day is over, let the dice fall where they may. It's the process though, to me in the past, until I'm about to tell you in a moment, it bothered me. Like, okay. It's like every gerus is basically a gerus al ha'osit. I'm talking about situations where boyfriend girlfriend situations, which are very very common. Okay, that's clearly the majority of the situations. Okay, boyfriend girl. Otherwise, if not for the fact that they have a Jewish boyfriend or girlfriend, they would never convert. But because there's a Jewish boyfriend or girlfriend, they have to convert. V'chulu. Okay, so. We go forward. But it's a little bit strange, no? It's a little bit strange. Why is it a little bit strange? Because it's al ha'osid. We have to really see how it plays out after the conversion is over. Okay, so now I'll tell you what totally, again, this is personally. I hope you disagree with, you should disagree. I want to learn something a little bit different. Instead of just going through the run of the mill, something a little bit different here in the Shia. What changed my attitude? This piece of Gemara. In this piece of Gemara, it says, Rava told his children, in Masechta Brachos Daf Ches Amud Beis, do not marry an Aramis. Don't. Stay away from them. And everyone, all the commentators are very, very disturbed. What's wrong with Gerim? V'ahavta mesager. And we had this whole discussion. I presented you some Mishpacha Miuchases. Klal Yisrael is built on Gerim. What is Rava saying? It says in the Torah so many times, V'ahavtem es ager. What's the problem here? So he gave one answer. We're dealing with real, real lowlifes. We're dealing over here with Aramis, a very unique nation. Shel Suran Bibnei, Shel Suran Ra. They're rotten to the core. We're dealing with a very special category. We're not dealing with the average non-Jew. We're dealing with someone that we don't even know from today. Another answer that is popular is the following. The only time it is awesome, okay, Rav Sternbach, this is Rav Sternbach from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Mayor, you there? Rav Sternbach from Eretz Yisrael, the one from the Chav of the Moyadim Uzmanim. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's still the Eda HaCharedus. I think he's the Nasi. Okay, he's from the Gedolei Hadar. Rav Sternbach. Of Moshe Sternbach, and he says this Gemara is only talking about a woman who is still very much connected to her family. In other words, you'll have let's say a person comes to the Beis Din and I want to become a ger. Oh, really, very nice. Why do I want to become a ger? Well, you know, I'm in high school, and we took a course in religion, in Judaism, and I was very impressed. And you know, I really want to become Jewish. How old are you? I'm 15 years old. Who supports you? My parents. My parents, they're going to have to pay for my college. I'm not leaving the house anytime soon. I'm only in high school. Okay? I'm only in high school. I'm not going nowhere for a long time. I'm staying home. My parents are going to take care of me for high school, college. I want to get a master's, maybe a PhD. And then we'll think about getting married. But in the meantime, you know, I live in this neighborhood. My neighbors, they're Orthodox Jews. I'm so impressed. so impressed with their midos and with their anhogos. I just melt away when I see an Orthodox Jew. I really, really am sincere. I'm so sincere. Please convert me. I'll do anything. I'll go to Shabbos. I'll do everything you're supposed to do in order to become an Orthodox Jew. Rav Meir, you walked in late. We're talking about Rav Moshe Sternbach. I'm saying over his chiddush. I want to be an Orthodox Jew. So Rav Moshe Sternbach says, don't take him. When the Gemara says, don't marry a non-Jew, it means a Jew like this. Why? Let me explain. Because this ger, he's in a matzav now. Okay, he's going to become religious. Very good. We'll take him. We'll teach him. He'll go to shul on Shabbos. He'll have a bris milah. He'll go to cheder. And where does he come home every night? He comes home every night to his parents. He's only 15 years old. He comes home to his parents. What are his parents eating for dinner? Chazer. What are his parents doing on Shabbos? They're watching television, going to the beach. They're doing everything that is keneged kol ha-toyra kula. And this young man, who is very sincere, I'm Orthodox. I have bris milah. I'm shomer Shabbos. My parents may be mechal Shabbos, but I'm not mechal Shabbos. They may be eating basa b'chola, but you know, I have my own little refrigerator. I have my own little microwave, and I take care of myself. Excuse me, if you are in an environment, if you are surrounded by a family who pays your bills, supports you, takes care of you, who is thoroughly non-Jewish, and just because you have a wonderful heart and you've studied and you're sincere, it doesn't go like that. It doesn't go. You cannot become a ger when you're in such an environment. In order to become a ger, you have to leave. You have to leave where you come from and set up your own home. That's not what gerus is. Gerus is to more than becoming a Jew. This is a new principle to me. It blows my mind, this principle. Never looked at gerus in this form. More than what gerus is to who you are now, it's to leave the place from where you come from. That's part of gerim. So such a ger, you don't take such a gerim who cannot independently support themselves, who don't have new forced parents that can provide. You can't be in such an environment. Okay, now, here's what really, really blows my mind. Take this, this Rav Meir Sternbach basically says. Here, basically, if you take Rav Moshe Sternbach to its logical conclusion, you know what he's basically saying? The only time you can ever be megayer someone today is if they come to you with a Jewish boyfriend or girlfriend. The complete opposite of what I was thinking originally. Originally, I always thought, who are the gerim today? Who are the gerim today? Why do you want to convert? You out of your mind? Well, I have a Jewish boyfriend. My mother-in-law will never let this happen. Okay, so you want to convert. Oh, yeah, terrible, terrible. Ulterior motives. What are we going to do? No, we hope for the best. We hope for the best. Just show that you're sincere. You'll grow on it. You'll grow with it. It'll rub off on you. Just the opposite. You want to convert? The only way you can succeed in your conversion is if you find yourself a Jewish boyfriend. Because part of converting is to break away from where you come from, to start your own family with a spouse that sees things the way you do. If a person comes today, listen, I want to convert. I'm an adult. I have my own job. I make good money. I have my own apartment. I'm single. I have parents. Yeah, I have parents. Baruch Hashem, I have parents. They're alive and they're well. They're healthy and I have a whole family. But I'm single. I have a job. I have my own apartment. I live here. I want to convert. I'm gonna do everything that an Orthodox Jew does. You know, that's a very big problem. Because a person naturally needs to be part of something else. And when you're not yet married, who are you part of? You, by nature, you fall back through gravity to your family, to your parents, to your siblings. If you don't have your own bias, your own mokoyim, even though I have my own apartment, I have my own parnasa, I'm independent, who do you call every night? Your parents. Whose parties do you go to? Your siblings. Who do you send gifts to? To your nephews and nieces who are goyim. They're not going to influence you. Even though you're independent, you're paying your own bills, you're part of that world. You haven't really separated. If you want to become a ger, come back when you find yourself a boyfriend or a girlfriend who you're going to marry. Because that way, when you'll set up your own bias, that will solidify the gerus. So Rav Moshe Shtemach says, when this Gemara says, don't marry an Aramis, the nature of the Aramis, he's trying to explain the Gemara, is these people, they never leave where they come from. That's what the Gemara there says, the Chozel L'Sura. They're so attached to where they, their culture, to their family. They never really convert. Yeah, they know Kol HaTarakula, they observe Shabbos, they do the mitzvahs, but where is their heart? Their heart is still part of their past. They can't break away. To become a ger is the most noble thing in the world. But you have to be a real ger. To be a real ger is to break away. You know the ultimate way to break away? The ultimate way to break away is by getting married and starting your own family. So adarabba, when a person comes to a Beis Din and he wants to convert, and they say, you have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Yes, I do. It's gold. Gold. Because that means this conversion will be sholem. Because now you're going to start your home, your own home. You're not going to be calling your parents every 5 minutes when you have a husband or wife to deal with, and your own children to deal with. You're part of a new world. It's gold. It's not an ulterior motive. This exactly is what Geirus is. It's to break away from where you come from to establish your own Mokoyim. There's no ulterior motive here. This is Adarav. So this is an incredible insight from Moshe Sternbach. Really totally changed my attitude towards Geirus. What exactly Geirus is. It's to break away. So Sacha Kol, we have over here, so far in this the topic, the Geirus again, we have Klal Yisrael was built upon Geirus. The Mishpacham Yuches as it is, because Mishpacham Yuches is defined in terms of halacha, not in terms of the Grace of Rebbes you come from. Number three, when it says don't marry an Aramis, this Gemara is referring to a certain race, a very, very specific type of guy, which I don't know if we have these things today. I don't know. I don't even know what it means. But I guess when you see it, you know it. Right? When you see, you know it. Mechol, you have to ask a potential ger, are you a Democrat? Who did you vote for? Okay, you have to. It's a certain sug. It's a certain, that's not, but not talking about the average guy. And number three, this principle of breaking away from society. The only type of people that Rava did not allow his children to marry as gerim were people who refused to completely sever relations with their past. Because part of gerus is to build something new. And that changes in our perspective entirely with regard to gerus. You know the story, I'll tell you the story many times.
If a guy comes with a girlfriend, Goyish girlfriend. I grew up, I thought it's because we don't want to convert him because he doesn't have any background or something like that.
No, it's Allah Asid. If a guy comes with a non-Jewish, the wife is not converting, only then you don't take him. That's pasha. There's no such thing. You don't take a person to live in sin. If a goyish couple comes, you have a husband and a wife, and the husband says, I want to be an Orthodox Jew, and I'm going to remain married to my non-Jewish wife, there's no Beis Din in the world that would accept him. There's no Orthodox Beis Din in the world that will accept him. So let's say both husband and wife. So there's a program, there's a process. There's a process. There are bate dinim all over the world that specialize in geirus. Some are very strict, some are very lenient. The ikar is kabbalas hamitzvahs al ha'osid. It's a process. Look, there are many Jews that don't know too much. In fact, the Sefer Hasidim, very scary what he writes. Sefer Hasidim says, better marry a ger that is sincere than marry a from birth that life is just lip service. Okay, it's shocking. I told you, the Sefer Hasidim, I told you multiple times, would be censored so many times for what things that he says in this generation that's so not popular. His words are, V'chol sheyesh loy lev toiv, v'lokech giyores, sheyesh lo lev toiv, utsnuim, they're discreet, v'hem goyim loy chasodim, they bestow kindness, uni'imim, they're pleasant, b'masu v'mavim business, umutov, it's better, lehischatein bizarum, better marry giyorim, geirim, milhischatein, than to marry bizera Yisrael, Jewish people, she'ein bohem es hamidois ho'elu, that don't have these good midois, because the children, you'll have good children. If you find a Gioris or a Ger that's a high quality person, the children will be very good. And if you marry a Jew who has rotten to the core midos, oh, but he has Groisa Yichus, he comes from all the Groisa Rebbes. And what is he? What is he? What does he have? How is he proven himself in this world to be a rough, intolerant, nasty, angry, ugly person? The Sefer Hasidim says, call it as it is. Better marry the Giyores than to marry the Meyuches who has corrupt Midas. That's what he says. That's what it says. Sefer Hasidim. Again, and this idea is very, there's a story with a boy, a Haredi boy. Somehow, he ended up dating a Giyores from very chosher mishpacha. This boy, it bothered him. Should I marry her? Is a Giyores? So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach Zeche Tzadik Levracha, and he said to him, "Of course, you should marry her. You'll be able to mekayim every single moment of your life." Multiple times, multiple psukim that describe va'ahavtem es hager. You'll be able to be mekayim even more mitzvahs. Of course, he told him. What does even the have mean otherwise? Okay, so we go over here to go through all these different ideas. The yichus also. Let's not downplay the value of yichus. Okay, yichus. There's something to yichus. Zuchus avos. Let's not downplay, but you should know something. Some goyim also have schosavis. You know, it's interesting. There are goyim that have schosavis. Everyone always wonders, like the guy like Trump. What did he do to deserve to be president? Bameh zoche. What did he do? No one knows. Only Hashem knows. Is there schosavis? They talk about his father. They talk about, what's his father's name? I saw one very interesting clip. They showed there was
Fred.
Right. They show a shul that he assisted in having built. They show, I don't know to what degree he participated, how much money he gave, what he did, he facilitated. He was instrumental in help.
He donated the property.
The property
which the shul was
built. So they show this clip, and they show it was done in a very clever way. They show, look, Fred Trump, he built this shul, and then they show the embassy in Yerushalayim. And his son, Donald, he went in his father's ways. He built this mokoyim in Yerushalayim. Okay, so they're trying to play God, that it was in the zuchus of him helping. Okay, listen, who knows anything? No one knows anything. There are some very negative things, you know, whatever. No one's to judge. It's all Hashem's cheshire. So there's also something schus avas by goyim also. There are certain goyim chassidim mus olam. Who's to judge of what's called zuchusim? Who's to judge? These are all very, very mystical. And there is an interesting halachic shaila. This is a very interesting halachic shaila, which is an ugly shaila. It's a very ugly shaila, but it is presented. Now we're talking about at least the shleimus sugya of gerus. After the sugya of gerus is a boy goes out with a girl, and you know the shirch is really going good, and they get engaged. And you know they I don't know if they signed tenoyim or not, but they got engaged. It's a very, very bad thing to break a shirach. It's a terrible thing to break a shirach. Horrible, horrible. But let's say when you're going with a girl, a girl is going with a boy, and the girl finds out about the boy after they're engaged, she finds out some very frightening things. So there's no question. There are certain red lines that you know, you didn't tell me this. I'm going out with you, and you did not. I did not know this. Whether it can be a health issue, whether it can be some, I don't know. You use your imagination. There is, without question, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are situations in dating after a person is engaged, they discover something. Had I known, I would not have even gone out with you. I would not have gotten engaged. But now we're already engaged. Are you permitted to cancel the shirach? Al pi halacha, are you allowed? Because there's a terrible avera to break a shirach. Are you allowed to? So there are certain things, of course. You know, there are certain, you use your imagination. You don't need books to tell you certain things. What happens if a boy goes out with a girl and does not know that she's a giyaris? She does not know that maybe her parents, the different variations of the shaila, her parents are gerim, and they get engaged. And now, after they get engaged, he discovers or she discovers about him that he's a ger or she's a ger. And this person, for whatever reason, it bothers him. Okay, and he wants to break off the shirach based upon this piece of information. Is he permitted to do so? We just discussed this entire thing here, all the milos. All very pro. Everything is almost 100% pro. But this person, yeah, you tell me yes, but I just don't feel comfortable. After everything is said and done, I don't feel comfortable. Al pi halacha, what is correct? This is a very difficult shaila. He writes over here in Rabbi Dvorkas, he writes all the different opinions on this matter. Is this something where, I thought she has a, I thought she's 5'4", and now I know she's only 5'3", because she was wearing high heels. I thought this, Narishkeit, too bad, what you see is what you get, too bad. Of course you can't cancel the shech, Narishkeit. Is this something that you can say to a person is Narishkeit? So what? So what's the gears? Who cares? What difference does it make? That's not a halachic excuse to say that had I known, I would not have gotten this far in the shidduch. Too bad for you. You already got engaged. You like her. She's good. It's over. That's it. It's over. You don't have a right. Or can a boy say, no, yichus is yichus. Yichus is yichus. You're right. Everything is fine and good. And you can give a whole shir for an hour telling me all the milos. And Adrabba, the Sefer Chassidim says, better marry a girl, a Gioris, with fine midos. You'll have wonderful children than marry a Miyuchis that has rotten midos because you'll have children that will be a para Adam. I know what it says in the books. I know what it says, but I'm upset. I was fooled. What's the halacha? I don't know. There is no answer. There are so many opinions on this matter. Obviously, every situation is different. You can't generalize. You can't generalize because usually it's not one issue. There are other.
How can you force somebody to continue with the shidduch if he's not happy because of something like
that? That's the halacha. A person gets engaged as a commitment. That's the halacha. When a person gets engaged, you can't force. You want to break up the shidduch, break up the shidduch. But there's a penalty. There's a very severe penalty. Number one, there are different takanas. There are different. You know, you can get away with it. You can do whatever you want. But you're playing with fire. A broken engagement is a serious matter. It's not even today. Even today, we live in a society that happens every single day. It's still a very serious matter. There are different minhagim that people do. They give a lot of money. The person who breaks the shidduch today, number one, the first thing off the bat, they have to give a lot of money. A lot of money to the other side and ask them for mechila. Even to write down a sign of shtar of mechila is a very serious matter. Look, many times, there are many shidduchim you hear about stories where there is a broken engagement. More often, it's mutual. It's mutual. Okay, so mutual is mutual. Okay, that's not a big deal. It's mutual. But sometimes it's not mutual. It's where one side really, really wants, and the other side just has cold feet, and they cancel. That's a very big problem. Once there is a commitment, especially in marriage, there's a commitment. And to break the commitment, obviously every single situation is unique. And the situation where a person says, oh, had I known that you were a Gioris or your parents were Gerim, I would not have entered into the Shidduch. Usually, when you hear those type of stories, if they ever do, that's not the only reason why he wants to cancel. There's something else that's bothering him. And it's a contributing factor. So you can't generalize. But I just want to bring out that in its purest form, there's, as Rabbi Rakefet was, rabbinic literature. There's an enormous amount of shelus tshuvos about this type of topic of when people are fooled. They have certain assumptions, and they discover later on, before they get married, that what they thought they were not fully filled in on all the details, but they already committed. When in halacha is it considered to be a violation of a breaking an engagement? And this is something which is very complex. Okay, the sach hakol, we just spoke about today, the topic of yichus of a woman or a man who is not Jewish in marriage, the different issues, mishpacha miyuchesed, where we come from, the Gemara, about bechlal gerus, and about this sheila where you're not aware. Mirshon, tomorrow we'll talk about something else. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sain. All the best to everyone.
The Ein Yaakov makes what you just talked about, Rava. The Ein Yaakov is the one who espouses what you said in terms of being a Kohen. And what they use as a proof is that the Rava's son married Rav Chisda's daughter, who was a bas kohen, because Rav Chisda was a kohen too. So that's what he was talking about.
Yichos.
That's what it's based on. Uh-huh. That's the Enya. I would just.
Oh, because he was a kohen. If he was a kohen,
he's the only one who.
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to marry Gioris. It's in Isser.
Well, he says that the reason he said Aramis was in reference to the to Kahuna.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That she shouldn't marry somebody.
That's partial then.
Of
it
the
should be.
The reasons yeah. why they didn't accept Gerim in various ages was because every time somebody would convert, the Catholic Church came down hard on the Jewish community and they would cause a pogrom.
Really? Wow.
A lot of Jews, so they tried to divert.
Lomeli Lutzarazais.
To be Jews, they begged them to back off, because they knew it would end up in tragedy if they converted some people. And this was standard operating procedure. Every time there was a ger, it was a disaster afterwards. The church came down very hard on the Jewish community where it happened. And that was part of the problem. That's historically speaking, you know, rather than...
Mayor, what's with this mask? What does it say on the mask? What does it say on your mask? I can't see. Let's see what it says. What does
it say?
I can't see. I can't see. What does it say? What does it say?
Apart biyachad.
Apart biyachad. Oxymoron. Social distancing is an oxymoron. Social means to be together, and distancing it means to be apart.
Yeah. I don't know. Everyone's acting like the thing is over, but it's not over. I don't know.
You're looking at civil war.
Rabbi Levine, I once heard a share
yes.
by Rabbi Tuvia Goldstein
yes.
about whether you can teach a guy Torah or not. So he said he had a case in his Beis Medrash where a kid comes over to him and says, I just found out that my mother had a Reformed conversion. Can I continue learning or not?
Yes, what do you say?
I don't remember. It was 40 years ago.
We're very magel today.
We're
very magel today teaching Torah to Goyim. Extremely magel. Extremely. A guy who wants to learn Torah today, the opinion is you can teach them whatever they want. It's all anyway open book. Today,
you know that the black guy who spoke Yiddish or a lot of YouTubes, he died in the Nebuch and the Corona.
Oh, really? The RSS? The RSS
yes,
guy?
Yes.
He died?
Yes.
Terrible.
He was nipped in the Corona.
When did he die? Very recently?
Like a couple months ago.
Wow.
Are we strict today or lenient in making...
He spoke Yiddish? He spoke Hungarian?
What?
Are we lenient or strict
yeah.
to discourage conversions?
You just sent out a video.
I just got one. Very lenient.
But we learned from the story of Ruth how you have to discourage...
They do discourage.
They had a terrible week. So they said, well, what's so terrible? Trump lost? I said, no. We lost Rabbi Sachs, we lost Rabbi David Feinstein. You know, that was terrible.
Is there a hesped, a levaya, a televised levaya of Rabbi Sachs?
I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I would love to hear, see the levaya.
I think when they do it, they said when they have it, they will send out the Maspidim on this.
Does anybody know what kind of cancer
there's 30 people at the levaya.
What?
Levaya was very small, just 30 people I read online.
Because of Corona.
Right.
Does anybody know what kind of cancer he had? Because they didn't say.
I think it was a recurrence. The one I understand
it yeah, he had it a few, he had it, right, it was. He had it a few times in his life. He had it at least twice before, and it was put to rest, so to speak, and now it came back, which unfortunately it does. Yeah.
We were talking that.
Yeah,
what?
I can't.
Yeah. Mayor, you know what you say?
We were talking that how Esther Jungreis was put into business by Shlomo Kalbach, gave her the idea to go.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Sachs became Rabbi Sachs because of the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
How? What's the story?
He was a student. You look it up. He was a student, and he came to ask. You know, he wanted to say. He said, "I'm a student of philosophy. Let me find out what's doing with the Lubavitch." And the Rebbe started asking him questions about the student body in Oxford and what he's doing. And he told him, "You should stay with me." And he stayed. He stayed in Crown Heights for the Yom Tovim, the Yom Noroim, and he was supposed to leave. And Lubavitcher guys canceled his ticket. They said, we'll get you another flight. And he stayed there a while, and he came back, and he decided to become a rabbi, a practicing. And he actually asked, he sent in a note to the Rebbe. He said, should I be a lawyer or a economist? And the Rebbe crossed it, and he says, no, you should be a rabbi.
Wow. You know, he spoke.
Does anybody know a good electrician?
A good electrician.
A plumber, I know. There's a guy Katz, but he's very expensive.
That's good.
Well, not a big job. It's just something I wasn't looking forward to doing. So.
All right, people. See you tonight.
Have a good day. Mayor, where are you now? You're at home?
I'm at home, but I'm going out next door, so I...
Where, you going to the yeshiva?
Yeah.
What's in the yeshiva?
I speak to the caterer there. I help him out.
All right.
Give him
ideas. Which caterer?
You don't know him. It's a guy, Wurzberger, Moshe Wurzberger. He's a small guy trying to be big.
Hello. You hear me?
Oh, Shalom Aleichem, a sender is here.
Hi. I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have a tape of this lecture?
You want this lecture today?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll put it up for you. How should I get it to you?